Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Life is full of awesome what-ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello, welcome to another episode of Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. My guest is Limmy, making a welcome return after about 20 months. So quick return. If you've enjoyed these podcasts, I've found quite a good way that you can pay for them without paying anything and have a better life. I've recently changed energy companies to Bulb Energy, and they use renewable energy for a lot of their energy, and they're quite a lot cheaper than the big companies, and they're also not pricks. Their customer service is good. Plus, there's no contract, so you could go with them. If you didn't like them, you could leave. And here's the clever bit. If you use this code when you switch over to them, all lowercase, www.bulb.co.uk/refer/richard234, then you will get a £50 credit in your account, and I will get a £50 credit in my account, and no one will have paid anything. It's amazing. So if that appeals to you and you'd like to change energy company, do change if you're with one of the big ones. They're all pricks. And you can change back again after you've got your £50. Don't do that, though. That was stupid. Anyway, that's what you can do. Now let's sit back and enjoy Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with my guest, Limmy. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who is still very much in his 40s. Very much so. It's Richard Herring. Oh, yeah. Hello. Hello, London. Hello, oh, lovely to be here. Welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was in Lazytown the other day, and I was talking to Sportacus from Lazytown. Remember Lazytown? Yeah. He calls it Rahela Stubber, so I don't know if that's going to catch on. The girl from Lazytown is now about 26, so good news. Not that I Googled it. Welcome to the show. It was the wig, really, wasn't it? The wig was good. So, welcome to the show. I'm 49 years old as we record this, but due to the magic of the passage of time, the people who are listening to this, I'll be either over 50 or dead. That's the magic of the passage of time. So I can't quite believe I'm going to be... I haven't really thought about turning 50. When I turned 40, I went crazy, right? I had a proper midlife crisis, went out, got drunk, behaved appallingly. But I just hasn't even, I don't think I've really processed the fact I'm turning 50 in 2 days' time from now. It's because now I'm 50 and I've got a family. I've got some actual stuff to worry about. So it's some responsibilities which I didn't have back then. But 10 years have passed since I turned 40. I can't believe that. It's, you know, I've just got over the existential dread of being 40, and now I've clicked my fingers and bang, another 10 years have disappeared into the ether. And what have I got to show for it? Oh, a wife and a child. Fucking great. Some success in my career, big deal. Happiness, fuck off. No, very much. It's having a lovely time. We're moving this week as well. I mean, it's like I'm turning 50, and then someone's gone, yeah, you're not allowed to live in London anymore, mate. You have to leave. You've got 2 days to get out. So we're moving to the countryside on Friday. Yeah. Hooray! Are you a fan of the countryside or of the day of Friday? Yeah, Friday. I love anything with Friday in it. I always eat in TFI Fridays because I love Friday. Yeah, we're going to Hertfordshire. So the next time I do some podcasts, I mean after next week's show, obviously, I'll be living in the countryside. It'll be a very different, and I'll be 50. It'll be a very different experience. I hope you will enjoy it. Might as well be dead. So let's crack on. My guest this week, he last appeared on the Rich Hanks Leicester Square Theatre podcast in September 2015. So about 2 years ago. It seems longer. He's a very normal man. He's got a very normal face. He's probably best known as the Cockney in Pompidou. Remember that? The Pompidou show, the Matt Lucas vehicle. Will you please welcome, it's Limmy, ladies and gentlemen, it's Limmy. Limmy. Hello. Come and sit down. Pull up a chair. Is that working?
Hello.
Yeah, there's one.
Thank you very much.
Limmy, it's Brian. Brian Limond. So you were a Cockney. How do they get a job? I know there's no sound in Pompidou.
Yeah,
but you can't come down here doing our Cockney parts. That is very offensive.
Well, Matt Lucas asked me, Pompidou is a kind of Pingu sort of thing. It's a kind of like... So that's like the second thing that I've came down, my big break.
Yeah.
For the other thing was...
Was the other thing the Leicester Square Theatre podcast?
There's that, yeah. But I mean like that on the telly.
Okay, yeah.
I mean like the broadcast telly.
Okay, yeah.
The other big break was the IT crowd.
Yeah, your window cleaner.
Whereas a window cleaner going like... So for Pompidou, it's like... that IT crowd thing, I got asked to... Graham Linehan, he liked like the first series of Limmy Show, and he got in touch with us and via my agents, London agents, and he said, "Do you want to be in the IT crowd?" And I hadn't watched it. I hadn't really watched. I'd seen it on the telly, but never actually sat down and went, "I'm going to watch this."
Yeah.
And I knew that like Chris Morris was on it for a bit, and Noel Fielding was on it for a bit, and I thought, well, this is what it'll be like. It'll be like I'll be maybe like one of these kind of recurring characters. Not to replace like the top three,
yeah.
But you know, one of these other ones. And I thought, well, what could this be? And I got the script and I looked at the pages and it says, it's a kind of a Glaswegian that you can't make out a fucking word he's saying. Is that right? Brilliant. So that was my big break. Yeah. So I sold it.
What in Pompidou? You didn't have to speak though, so it didn't matter about the accent. Can you do a Cockney accent?
Cockney accent?
Yeah. That's not very good. That was very Scottish.
You all right?
Yeah, it's good.
Everything all right?
I find that as a Londoner, I find that very, very offensive. You trying to do my accent? That's awful. I would never do anything like that. So. Nice to have you back.
Thanks for coming down again.
Yeah. And we got you a hotel.
You're not going to do it.
We could have got. Hello! This is how I'd have done the Glaswegian guy. Hello! The guy's in the IT crowd.
Oh, no.
What?
That's actually deeply offensive. I'm looking forward to I'm looking forward to you going to the Fringe in August. You're telling me you're going to the Fringe in August. Make sure you get a nice welcome. You get away with it in Edinburgh, though, so that is kind of pretty much English here anyway.
They love it up there, they love it up there. We just got your hotel because we paid for you to come down standard class from Glasgow on the train.
Yeah.
Paid for you to go in hotel. I noticed on Twitter you were making porridge in a cup for your dinner.
I will. So I thought you said when you book your train and hotel, can you keep it within this amount of money? And I did that so that I could only afford standard class train and Travelodge. And I thought. I don't even think I could afford to put breakfast on Travelodge, so I thought I'll keep it within that.
We'd have given you breakfast at the Travelodge.
I know, but I thought, right, I'll maybe get breakfast. I thought, no, I'll save myself a tenner if I don't get it. I thought, I'll get breakfast somewhere. And then when I just got to the hotel, I thought, I could actually just nip around the corner to one of the shops, get a packet of porridge, and then I could make myself dinner, because I've not had my dinner yet. Pour it in a cup. I thought they've got a cup in the hotel room, they've got a cup, no, a bowl, and a teaspoon, like for when you're making coffee. And so I poured the porridge oats in there and the boiling water in there. Never had any salt. I use salt, no sugar, but not even any salt though.
No.
So just plain and a wee bit of milk on the top of it. And that's my breakfast tomorrow as well. Yeah. Breakfast in the Travelodge would cost, I think it said about £12.
Right.
That, £1.84. And I'll have plenty of porridge left.
You can take the porridge back.
For the train back up the road. Yeah.
Just in case they run out of porridge in Scotland as well. You can leave.
We
should do that kind of thing, the whole thing, but fucking.
There's any chance of that, Paul.
Well, I'm sorry we didn't. I should have said you could have paid for breakfast. I feel bad.
No, it's nice. It's nice, isn't it? It's nice and filling. Porridge.
I do exactly the same thing on tour. Because I don't. I resent. Well, I also, when I'm touring around and you're staying in hotels a lot, just going down and having a full English breakfast every morning just makes me feel like I want to die, you know. So I'll just get like a little one of those porridge pots that you can pour. They cost a bit more, you know, those little kind
right.
of. You pour the water in, it's got milk in it already, and then you stir them up.
All right. Well, I'd really like that. Just after like a book tour, and that was like about a month and a half, I'd gone about fucking Travelodge, and it's the same breakfast, the same everything, same picture on the wall in all the rooms, and everything, again and again and again. I like that. I love that fucking routine. I love that, like, boring as fuck kind of life. And every morning, the same fucking, like, granola, and then you get your scrambled eggs and all this shite again and again. It's nice and everything, but again and again and again, but... I fancy the wee change. A wee bit of porridge with any fucking salt or anything out of a cup.
We'll try and find you. We'll try and send someone out to get you some salt during.
No,
the...
it's fine. It's fine.
Yeah.
I'm fine.
Are you
honestly.
Sure?
Aye, I'm all right. I'm all right.
Okay.
Thanks.
Well, I just want to make sure you're as happy.
It's going to be fucking finished in about 10 minutes.
It's good.
Porridge.
It's important talking about porridge. I've been reading your new book.
That's your lot.
When I loved your first book, I kind of like the economy. That's basically why it's called That's Your Lot, because all these stories are very... Is that right? They're very quick.
Kind of...
They end...
The longer... Well, they're all kind of longer. They're all longer than the stories in Daffy's stories, but it's the kind of stories that... Like, I was trying to do these punchline-y sort of things with Daffy's stories, because I come from a sketch-writing background. Sound like a fucking wanker, man. It's very much a sketch-writing background. So I was always trying to have a wee punchline, a wee joke, a wee twist at the end or something. But I read some other stories by a writer called Raymond Carver.
Oh, yeah.
Cunt. And his story just seemed to just end.
Yeah.
Just kind of like there. And I didn't like it at first. I started to like these stories. It just... That's kind of like that's your lot, and I felt like writing stories where you're not really thinking about, it doesn't have to have a, you're not thinking so much about a catchphrase or a twist, or it doesn't have to be funny or good or anything like that. It's, really, really frees you up.
I really like it because I think you get the tension going very quickly in all of them, and you want to find out what's happening. And what's going on? And you know, I've read about half of this book, and they're all this kind of. You're very good at. And then I've got time to read the whole thing.
I'm
saving some up for bedtime.
Right.
They're very, you can read them on the loo. They're good.
Good,
I'm going to read the rest of it. A lot of people come on here and only read half the book, and then I don't go back to it. I'm reading the rest.
Did you read the first off?
Yeah, I've read
or
the
just like here, there, and
it's on my Kindle, so I've just read. I'm reading them in order. So
well, that's good because I put out a good ones at the start. So
yeah, they're good.
Sorry, right.
But they're very you're very good at building the scene immediately. It's really brilliant writing, and I kind of like the brutality. Some of them just end sort of brutally, like bang, they're gone. They're building up and then go. Oh, and this is what happened.
You know what I mean?
It's
grammar. Have you read grammar?
No.
That's funny because that's in the first half.
I have. That's not what I'm talking about. I thought you said grammar. Yeah.
The ending of that.
It's brutal.
I really enjoyed the ending of that.
I love it.
I was pissing myself. It's horrible. Don't worry. I'm not here to talk about my book. No, actually, what's great about my book is. But when I wrote the ending of that, it felt like sending a fucking dodgy tweet that this is going to, like, I'm fucked.
I think it's great.
This is suicide. But
it's really good because I was reading that on the tube on the way here, and I was pissing myself at all the. It's all about the guy, a guy who corrects people's grammar in emails at work. Right?
I kind of grammar,
but it's just really funnily. It's just really well observed and funnily done, and that kind of person and. The character I always imagine of you in most of these stories, getting annoyed by someone correcting people's grammar.
Yeah.
And then, the end of it is just like... just like it blows up in the face.
You find the reason why he's dead. You have to read it. I've no problem.
Yeah, but don't want to spoil it.
It's for sale or not?
No, there is... My book, Emergency Questions, is on sale. GoFasterStripe.com/EQ. We can put some of yours up on GoFasterStripe.
Sorry,
it's all on Kindle now. I'd like to hold it up, but it's all on the ebooks.
I was going to bring it. I thought, fuck it. I mean, the last time I was on, I had done a few stories before I did the tour, so I thought, this is first chance to read a story, but I've just been doing it for like 2 fucking months here. I'm like, fuck, get a fucking book to fuck. Get up
and go to this fucking house.
I like the way, one of the first stories anyway is about, I think like it's interesting because a lot of people would make a lot more out of some of these ideas, right? And I like the way you kind of have a really good idea and explore it very quickly and sort of throw it away. So the one about the guy who's writing his kid's name in the concrete. It's a very quick story, but it's a really good idea. That would make a film or something, that idea. So can I slightly give away what happens? So he's writing it's a lovely story about a father something wanting to show your son that you loved him when he was little because you know he's going to forget that you have this moment, which I've, that's what I think all the time with my daughter is all this fucking time I'm putting in and she's going to remember
none of this.
So that's why I write a blog every day and I'm going to make her read that so that she knows, so she sees through.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
So this guy decides to write his son's name in the concrete and gets caught and gets...
I can on a wet concrete guy.
Yeah. And then the bloke doing the concrete kind of basically attacks him and then he gets stuck in the concrete.
Yeah.
And then has to live in the concrete for the rest of his life.
And it's got this... I was a wee bit worried when you started explaining it. I thought, it's going to sound shite. Because I don't even want to do it. I would, like any sort of story, I was saying to my girlfriend all day, something happened on the telly. I says, I wrote a story about something like that. She, oh, aye, right. I said, it's about, and she just wasn't fucking interested. it's good, you got to read it. She's like,
but this one... Like the idea of a man being stuck. It's just like someone else would get like a film out of that or a novel out of that. You know what I mean? Kafkaesque or something.
I don't have the attention span. No. I tried writing like a 10,000-word story, but and that's at the end, right? But that took me fucking ages. It took me longer to write 10,000 words in one story than it did to write like 10 1,000-word stories because you've got to kind of. The pace it and the plot points and all this sort of shit gets like a pain in the ass. I like just doing something and then it's finished by the end of the day.
I agree, but I think it works really effectively. I said this about your first book, but I think your writing is just it's so much your voice and it's so individual and it's so unlike anything else. I think it's just really brilliant.
Thanks
and I think
lot.
Most people would ruin that story, but also it would. Bear with having more done with it, but it's great to just do it that quickly. The twist happens, and then we've ruined it for everyone.
Thank you very much.
And I quite like you do this on Twitter. I mean, I love the way you use Twitter as well. It's kind of like there was a I can't even remember what it was the other day.
I don't know if I'm hearing things right.
Yeah,
but see, when you said it's probably just somebody button or something. But see, when you said, "Oh, and I love the way you do Twitter," I thought I heard something going. Did I imagine that, or was it just something going like,
a lot of burping?
I thought somebody was going like, everybody will look, go like that, every cunt's fucking left, man. Like, but, thank you very much, cheers.
No, but there's a couple of people who just like to come along because they hate the person.
I just imagine that.
They're happy to pay out 15 quid just to come. They don't do that.
I just imagine that. Don't worry, there's not going to be a situation here.
They've got Twitter now. The thing with those people, don't ever have to leave the house now. They can just do that from the. They can just tweet.
Get a room.
There was a thing he did the other... There was one, I don't know if you can turn it into a short story, but there was one, and I can't quite remember the details of it, but it went on for quite a long time, a little tweet thing about you working a way to kill people by dragging them out down the beach and tying them up under the sea. Do you remember this?
Oh,
and so they drowned under the sea, and you could get everyone in a wedding party or something out one by one until every single, and if you did it subtly, you get every single guest. And then in the morning you'd wake up and there'd be the whole wedding party would be drowned under the sea, tied up under the sea.
I can't remember when it was
about a month or two ago, but it was like it? Again, it was like a
I remember like, something to do with tying like putting up a rope in the ground. Like a noose, an upside down noose. Yeah. So it's actually like, no, you're not hanging for the neck for a tree, but it's actually under the water, just at the shore. And then getting somebody, pushing them under the water and sticking their neck in it. And then, so they're drowning there. And then, but I can't remember why.
Because it went off.
I used to tweet stuff like about Chris Brown all the time. I used to say I'd love to put him through a fucking mincer. I'd love to crucify him, nail him to the bottom of a swimming pool and things like that. but I can't remember that. That was just in general.
It was just a general murder plan. It was just a plot to commit mass murder. But it read like a kind of novel or a serial killer's diary.
I'd love to write something like that. The killer doesn't get his comeuppance. It's not a study in psychopathy or anything like that. I'm actually enjoying it. I'm enjoying killing these people, and you're on the side of the fucking killer. There's no redeeming features. There's not, you know, the poor guy's went through a lot in his childhood, and that's why he's turned out like this. Let's go and fucking, like Grand Theft Auto, let's fucking go and kill some people and, you know, kill horrible fucking and kill everybody. And, I'd love to write something like that. Really, you can get the sense that I'm fucking, you know, I'm really enjoying it. The writer is enjoying this. Yeah. That, he's not going, what do you make of these people? You know, like, no, I'm that fucking person. I'm like, it's either that or a fucking date for real. Take your pick.
But most people don't use Twitter in that way to write a kind of fantasy stroke fiction short story. It's really interesting. And Andy McCage, my Twitter correspondent, also wanted me to ask you about the fake WhatsApp tweets you've been doing, which is which are again quite full on, aren't they? I've seen some of these.
Well, I did them. I think it was when I was starting the book tour and I was sitting on a train and an R train. I did it on the way down here, just kind of tweet like fuck. And I just thought, right, I want to see if I can come up with a big fucking Twitter hit. And I noticed that a lot of these 30,000 retweet, 40,000 retweet ones have got "I am dying," and then, you know, the kind of greeting, laughing, sort of crying, laughing sort of face emojis. And it's sometimes like WhatsApp stuff conversations. And I just noticed that the WhatsApp stuff between somebody and their granny or something like that is kind of funny, but it's them putting in a sort of canned laughter or, oh my God, can't breathe, that gives it that extra, like, multiplier, sort of like times it by three funniness sort of boost. So I thought, I want to do one of these WhatsApp things and then say at the beginning, oh my God, I'm dying, but I don't want it just to be a normal conversation on WhatsApp. I want it being like, Mum, like, what's up? Dad, pick my dad. I've been stabbed. I'm in the park right now. Please get an ambulance. Where are you, son? Where are you? It's too late, Dad. Just tell Mum I love her and all that. I'm only kidding. Don't you ever do that. Oh, shut the fuck up, bitch. And lots of people, that's like between somebody and their mom, somebody and their dad, somebody and their grand. I fucking hate you. Go and kill yourself. And I hate you. Ha, ha, ha. And people, what's getting retweeted like fucking people going like, this is a fucking disgrace, and
Well, because anyone getting that as a retweet who doesn't know you, I think even people who do know you are not going to be clear whether it's real.
I was doing it kind of trolling away. I was getting it to get attention for people who don't follow me. And I did one, that one about getting stabbed. I said, I've been attacked in the park. Right, where are you, baby? I was saying, you know, like the Muslim. Where are you, baby? Are you okay, hon? Just stay awake. Don't fall asleep. I'm getting dizzy, mum. Just, I can't phone the ambulance. Phone 999, you have to. I can't just tell dad I love him. I'm only joking. I'm on. Don't you ever do that again. And then somebody tweeted me saying, I hope you do get stabbed. And I replied, like kind of quote retweet to everybody saying, I hope you get stabbed this weekend. And then I was in the, I can't remember where I was at the time, but it was on a book tour, right? And I'd finished one of the shows, and when I got to the hotel, I noticed my account had been suspended. It said, your account has been suspended for this tweet. You've been reported. I hope you get stabbed this weekend. I thought, wait a fucking minute. No. They said, I hope you get stabbed first. And it says, well, if you want to appeal it, you have to enter your password again. I didn't have my password because it's in one of these password managers, and I didn't have the app on my phone. And I just thought, fuck it, all right. And it said, you are locked out for 12 hours. I thought, for fuck's sake. So I had to wait till like midday the next day. Then I reported them back. And they got suspended. So it's like a nuclear fucking attack. It's brilliant. And since noticing that they can do that to me and I can do that to them, I've been doing it to a lot of people. You know, some other people go like, you're a prick for saying that. I get them fucking suspended. You just honestly go to report and you don't say that they've said something offensive. You say that because there's options. Don't say just offensive. Say it's a targeted attack. And they get locked out for, and I've seen somebody like kind of right wing person going like saying something to us, and I reported them and they got locked out, and I checked up on their account like about a day later. Oh my god, and they were just tweeting to everybody, oh my god, so much for free speech and all that, you're going to drive everybody off of Twitter, this is not on. And like, fucking yes, man. Yeah, that the wee peppy fucking frog avatar and that shit. Yes, man, grass, be a grass and bastard. I used to do that all the time with students across the road, having parties and all that, and I just, every day I'm just phoning fucking police every time. No 999, but the other number, like 101 or whatever it is, that gets just the normal, you know, if they've got time, they'll come out. And I would just keep getting this fucking party shut down week after week until they didn't date anymore. And I was saying to people on Twitter, you know, I can hear, you know, I can make out what the fucking song is that they're playing, and somebody tweeted me saying, if you can make out the tune, shut it down. I was like, you're fucking right, mate. You know, was it just kind of, you kind of make it every, I know that song, I know that song. I love grassing. Yeah. It's brilliant, man. It's my fucking
I mean, it's what Twitter's probably made. It's sort of fun to be that guy. It's just mischievous and it's wind. It's just all wind-ups, really, isn't
it? It's just a laugh.
Yeah.
I'm teetotal, right, and I don't take it anymore. I'm bored at my fucking mind. This is the only sort of buzz I fucking get. Gassing them in, and aye, there's wee guys around the back of my house. They're drinking. Aye, could they say something about it? Aye, you see the police come. You're like, fucking yes, man. You just go, I can just phone a number. And these fucking guys in uniforms fucking turn up about 10 minutes later, and just see all these wee guys running away. Or you just phone a number and you wait. And there's this party, and then you see this fucking motor turn up, and you go, and there's the music going off. God, did that, man. And you've paid for it. You've paid for it. Phone the fucking number. It's a laugh. It's there for you. It's there for you. Grassing's brilliant. Grassing's going to be big next year.
But I can never work. Half your... The things you come up with are quite believable. Like, today you were... tweeting about, and like, I still, even though I know you're joking on everything you put, some of it I believe. So today you were tweeting about how you used to work in an art gallery in New York.
Oh,
and,
aye.
And you were also a painter. And yep. Then
I just say things like, this has gone a few years back, this is like 1988, and I worked in a gallery, and Aye, and I want to repeat all the fucking tweets, but I just, and you know who that was? That was Lois Lane for original Superman, Margot Kidder. That was her. And I'm obviously knowing fucking New York in the mid-80s, because I would have been about fucking 12. But it's good that you're making up this story about this celeb that you sort of met. You believe it as you're typing it. It's fucking good.
Well, Margot Kidder is a very good choice of someone. So she wants to buy your painting, or she likes your painting because she knows you've done it in this way. Yeah. But to come up with it and go, who's that woman who was in Superman?
And some people said, did you ever meet, there was a cancelled Green Day gig in Glasgow. Some people were saying, did you ever meet Billy Joe... What's her name? What's his name? And I went, aye. And I just made up fucking some story about sort of seeing him in a lift in a hotel. You're going, I'm going up. Oh, right, okay. And it's good. As you're making it up, you're like, this feels fucking real. Yeah. You feel yourself going mental. Feel yourself going kind of psychotic, going, in a way, this is happening. Because if that did happen, it's got the same feelings as how it is if you make it up. So in a way, this is fucking real. You're never 100% real because it didn't happen. But all the other stuff, like how you would feel inside if it happened, which is part of the reality, you're 80% there. So it's mostly fucking real. Yeah. Mostly happened. If you think about it.
Well, I am thinking about it. Yeah, I'd say maybe 70% real.
70%.
70% max. And I also enjoy your obituaries that you do on Twitter every time anyone dies.
Oh,
Which, and I, what I really enjoy is that quite often they get picked up and put in the papers as genuine, obituaries.
I love that. There's odd one a day, and I think, shouldn't have done that. I mean, they're under 30 when they died, or, you know, like, I don't know if I did it with Amy Winehouse. I think I did it with her. Every now and again, there's somebody that people go, I shouldn't have. I don't know if you know what I'm talking about. I would tweet, I met such and such at a charity do. She was surprisingly down to earth and very funny. No matter who's died, and people be tweeting me saying, this is how I find out people have fucking died. People tell me, I've got a wee hotline there, you know, a kind of red phone type of thing on Twitter. Yeah. If somebody dies, people tweet me, did you ever meet, who's the most recent one? Maybe somebody in Doctor Who, was it? No, Brian Cant for Play Away. Yeah. Play School. Did you ever meet Brian Cant at a charity? Brian Cant fucking did. Brian Cant, I'm at a charity. Hold on, Lynn. I just need to. But I think Daniel needs to go to the toilet. Just a minute. I need to. They were waiting for me, and this is how they find out. Charity, they're surprisingly doing it. I'm fucking spell mistake. Delete. Like, I'm pure like Daniel had on the fucking phone.
But it's also a very good parody of all the people who basically, you know, that someone dies and then Twitter's full of people making it about themselves, aren't they? I mean, that's sort of what it's...
I'm looking forward to when I die, and hopefully people they make a, you know, the fans make a tribute to me by tweeting that. I think it'll be really funny if I die in a kind of, in a violent way, that people tweet my girlfriend that thinking, he'd like this, wouldn't he? He like this, wouldn't he? Like, she's like, he got fuck. Is he fucking stamped in with a fucking group of wee fucking guys? You might know. Oh, come on, it's just a laugh, man. My son, pure fucking devastated. Where's daddy? Where my charity do? I met your dad, a charity do, and you know what I mean? The tweet that he did. I'm not kidding. Sorry about your dad, wee man. You need to do that. I said, no, Paul's are in here.
All right, well, leave Twitter behind. I'll ask you in a minute.
You're busy fucking sorting out people fucking grass, not fucking farting.
I'm going to ask you an emergency question. This is my new favourite emergency question. What is the strangest thing you've found in the embers of a bonfire? It's a good question. Wait and see what happens. Takes a little while, but we're going to get some magic.
Fuck all.
Going to get some magic in a second, don't worry.
I can make something up.
Yeah, do.
All right. A deep hedgehog. No, that's not funny. That's not fucking funny.
I bet there is something.
Come on, that's an animal.
I found my first cat when I was a kid. We found it in the embers of a bonfire.
This really?
It was still alive, but it had been quite badly burnt in this bonfire.
And it was all... Some people hate cats, don't they?
They do. They just had, it had all its side burnt. Like, there was only a kitten.
And it's all right?
It was a wild cat that lived in the farm behind us, and the farmer said he didn't want it, so we paid for the vet to come and stitch her up.
That's one of the people who hate cats. Do you hate cats?
He hates cats, that guy.
You've got to watch people who hate cats. Because
yeah.
It's like that you're hating cats, bedwetting, and arson. triangle of psychopath. My girlfriend's ma, she fucking hates cats. She hates cats, and what does he hate about cats?
They're pretty selfish.
They don't get any love back.
Says the man who hates cats.
Kind of thing.
And is glad when they get badly burnt. Those cats are so selfish.
Love cats. Yeah. Love cats. And what's that?
Cats are slappers. Fucking what the hell? The master from Doctor Who has spoken, ladies and gentlemen. He came in late. Cats are slappers.
Right.
They're really not, I don't... You're saying you have sex with cats instead of... Was he saying instead of prostitutes? If I can't get a prostitute, just pop down the Batsy dog and cat's home, pretend you're a concerned... You can just take the cat home and fuck it for free, and no one... It's got a little tight little cat anus.
I've kind of moved on. I'm thinking about what's in the embers of the
yeah,
fire. Let me think. Let's see.
A fascist.
Is that what you said?
Yeah, fascist.
I can't hate fascists. That's the weirdest thing I've found in a bonfire.
Yeah, it's strange. Strange that he knew. That guy knew. He must have been with you.
I talked about it in one of my previous shows.
Okay, fine. Let's not talk to the audience again. They're strange. You know, I thought you were quite strange with the whole time people up under the sea until they drown.
I don't know if you can hear it right, but did he say cats are slappers?
He said cats are slappers. It's not the first thing I would think about.
They fucking lead you on. Don't want any deal with you.
All right, I've got another one for you. If your genitals had to turn into a sea creature for one day every month, but you could choose the sea creature they turned into, what sea creature would you like that to be?
Something wee, so that people don't notice a sea lion. Is that a sea lion? No, it's not a sea lion, seahorse. Fucking sea lion. Fucking sea lion. Something they've never noticed. Like a sea lion. A fucking...
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Walrus.
They might just think you were standing behind a sea lion.
That's actually the best. Then people just go there.
Would you like to stroke my sea lion?
We need to take it away. No. I'll have to come with it. I have to make sure it's safe. Make sure it's a...
Seahorses aren't that small.
Don't play with it too much. I'm fucking coming at the mouth like that. Fucking warned you. Seahorse.
But a seahorse is quite big as well.
Is it? No, you get these ones that are like that. What?
Well, not compared to, like, plankton.
You get ones that are about cock size.
Yeah.
I mean, like, average cock size. You can pick what age anyway. I take it to start off wee and I go, right, a one-year-old.
So you want a one-year-old seahorse? That is...
A seahorse.
It's sick. If it was a middle-aged seahorse, that's all right. Right. you've been on tour. Well, since I last saw you, so it's quite interesting. So you were, as you said, when you came here last time, you read a bit from your book, and then you went off and did a book tour, and you're back on stage. You've done a Limmy live show, and you've done you've done another two book tours, have you? So you've been doing doing quite a lot of touring. How are you finding the touring experience, aside from the hotels?
It's brilliant. I really like it, and just I love the the Q&A bit, just fucking rabbiting away, just talking a lot of fucking shit. And it's been brilliant just going to all these places. I went to Ireland, never been before, but I never fucking I went to Sheffield, right? Never been to Sheffield, and I thought, I kind of like Def Leppard and I kind of like the Human League, and I thought, well, that's where the Earth is, Sheffield, and I'm there for 2 nights. I wonder if you can go on a wee thing or go to a place that says Def Leppard were here once. And what I did for the first night was I got to Sheffield and I just went to the hotel, and my show wasn't on that night. It was the next night. I just spent the whole fucking night in this Travelodge room, and the whole of the next day, right, I spent almost 24 hours in this wee room, and it was fucking brilliant. It was like being in jail. It was magic. And I loved going to all these places and not doing anything. Yeah. I got to Dublin. One of the first things I did was just went to the Pictures to watch Alien Covenant.
Oh, yeah.
Just wasting all these fucking opportunities to check places out and get to know people. Felt fucking brilliant. Felt like going all the way around the world to some amazing place and going, I'm not even going to open my fucking eyes. I'm going to open my eyes. And getting on a plane and coming all the way back. Just kind of waste.
I'm like that though as well. When I toured with Stuart, he would always wanted to go and see this. He wanted to go walking up mountains. He wanted to go to all the tourist attractions. We went to loads of tourist attractions. Mm-hmm. When I tour on my own, I literally just go to the hotel and then to the theatre and then go home if I can.
It's brilliant because if you've got a way and if you've got a boy or a lassie or whatever, then it's good getting a if they're wee, it's good getting if you're not doing a tour, your other option is to just lock yourself in the toilet. Just pretend you're doing a shite 10 times a day when you're at, just like that, just sitting on your fucking phone or just going like that. In a minute, I've got something's not right with me, I need to. So going on a tour is just a good fucking getting back to before you have a wane, back to the old watching Columbo while you're lying on the couch sort of days. So just be lying in the fucking bedroom watching something on film 4, some old fucking Kirk Douglas film. Wow.
Yeah.
This is a fucking life. This is a shite, man. This is shite. I fucking love this.
It's really true that I think the things you once you've got a family and you've got all the time, all your time is taken up. The things you miss is all the stuff, you know.
I did nothing.
The thing I like best is getting back from a tour when everyone's asleep. I've come back late and it's midnight and everyone in the house is asleep, and I'll sit downstairs drinking whiskey and watch a telly on my own. And it's the best. The best thing in the world.
I used to do that with wine. Before I was doing stand-up and all that, I used to love just drinking a bottle of wine kind of every night, or a half bottle of wine, and just playing Grand Theft Auto 3 back then.
Yeah.
And just watching Rope, Alfred Hitchcock, about every fucking night, and then playing GTA and just sitting there with a big fucking glass of wine. Like, fucking magic, man.
Drinking on your own is the best. But you do, you miss the it's all that time you wasted before you had a, you know, it's like, but it's sort of terrible and amazing, so it's nice.
It's
to
probably
get
it's the best use of fucking time. It's like, yeah. I'm going on holiday next week, you must be looking forward to getting away. Well, you don't get to relax when you got away, and you're spending all your time making sure a fucking Wayne Disney drown. That's it. You don't get to relax. You're just, where is he? It's hard as fuck. The holiday is actually sitting in the house while he's on Minecraft.
Yeah,
that's a holiday. And then the walk starts when you arrive at fucking Mallorca or whatever. I write Moni way the night, sorry.
No, it's good. It's good to be honest about it as well. today you were tweeting about manspreading and saying that it was all right for men to manspread.
Well, I don't. I mean, look at me right now. Yeah. That's because I've got kind of wee genitals in a way. I don't know, I'm fucking para, but... But there was a guy right next to me, and he on the train, and he was like that.
Yeah.
And I was like, right, there's like two seats next to each other. That's the middle.
Yeah.
This is my bit. Everything here to there, that's my bit. His leg was just there, the border.
Yeah.
So he was like effectively on my side. I don't like that.
No, I don't like that.
I wasn't even serious anyway. I was just saying, man's spreading. That's because men have got Boz and Cox, and some of them need to do that because they've got big boz.
Yeah, you
can
do that. That, but you don't need to do that. I've been on a train once with a guy, and he was like half onto the seat. Aye. There was only one seat, and I sat on it, and he didn't move his, you know, so the leg Aye. Bones were like touch. I could feel his leg bone
Aye.
With my leg bone. They were so pressed together, and he still wouldn't move. It's like he was just like. Right,
I was thinking about it on the train. I was thinking, I wonder if you can get spikes like we kind of. They go under the trousers, yeah. And I kind of like spikes you get on runner, athletes kind of yeah. shoes, and you just put them there. So and it's not like obviously sticking out, but it's just enough for them to go, you know, what was that? they might think it's just a zip or something, or they don't know. But it's just enough to move them away, maybe yeah. stick a wee bit of fucking wee disease at the end of the fucking needle, something like that. So you get that, and then. If it's somebody you're seeing all the time, then like maybe like a month down the line, you start to see them getting a wee bit ill and losing a bit of weight, losing a wee bit of weight and all that. And you all right? Are you all right, pal? That would be good.
Yeah. And I went to your website to look up. You know, if there's anything on our website worth looking at, and there's only one. There's only you go to your website and there's just five coloured bars.
Swearing xylophone.
Yeah, it's like a xylophone. Yeah.
And it says you are a fucking cunt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Depending on what you press, you get that said again and again in different notes and all that. I made it first years ago in Flash. But then I'd redid it for HTML5. And there's other wee things like /gouge, /DD speaking clock, /speaking clock for Yoda. Okay. Yoda speaking clock.
Yeah.
I had a good old days of Flash. Don't get me started on that.
We talked a little about it on the last podcast you came, and I didn't really understand it then either. So I'll ask you a proper emergency question from the proper book. Oh, actually, I wanted to, because again, every interview I read with you, I think this is all bullshit.
Right.
I wonder if this is, you did an interview with like a local newspaper,
right.
And the guy said, "Tell me something that nobody knows about you," and then you, and if it's true, then it's not at all funny. And then you said that you had undescended testicles when you were a child.
I tweeted that the day as well.
Yeah.
I don't know why that's fucking going on with all the time. I thought undescended.
Yeah.
I remember when I was wee, like primary school even, I remember showing people my scars. I remember going like that, look, and there was bruising. And there was these scars down there. So I don't know when it happened. I thought undescended meant your balls are in your ball bag, your scrotum or whatever, but one feels kind of attached to your body and the other one sort of loose and moves about. That's what it means, but actually it means it's the balls are all the way fucking inside your body,
right.
And it's sort of, it's not dead common, but it's not like some kind of like, oh, it's a fucking viral video, wait till you see what happened to this wee boy. It's like they just cut you open and they push it fucking down, and one of them feels sort of attached to my body, the one feels a bit loose,
yeah.
And I had to get aye, that's true, aye.
Yeah. Thing is though, because of the Margot Kidder
yourself?
Thing, the thing of the because mine are okay. Because of the Margot Kidder thing, I just don't believe anything you say.
No, then. That's not true. But I tweeted just an hour ago. I saw Princess Di's brother.
Yeah, I saw.
And
that
I really did see him.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't hear you. Yeah, it's nothing to use, man.
Lord Spencer, Earl Spencer.
That's nothing to use down here. Use my seal.
We see him all the time,
But someone was like, "It's fucking." I was ready to say something. I don't fucking say anything. I was ready to take a picture, but no.
Yeah.
There he was. There he was.
He's quite old now. Are you sure it was him? Because he's
no, it's definitely him. Because it's him, but like his face sort of. It looks like he's been punched fucking.
Yeah.
He's like,
well, he started like his dad. Do you remember his dad and Princess Diana's dad as well? Ironically, so coincidentally, he was kind of his face was kind of quite bloated, and now the young Spencer is sort of turning into that kind of bloated. It's like a Doctor Who monster kind of
cloud bits sort of coming out here and there. Yeah. And I thought, you know, is it the eyebrow thing? Like, is it him? No, I thought it was Elton John. That's right. Remember he did the talk, but I know it was him.
Right, I'll ask you a question before we start libelling the royal family, which we would never do on this show. If you had to have sex with either Zippy, Bungle, George, Jeffrey, or Rod, did you watch Rainbow when you were a kid?
Mm-hmm.
Do you have that in Scotland?
Aye, aye.
Yeah, okay. Whilst Jane and Freddie had sex with each other next to you, but they couldn't join in with the sex, if you had to do that, which of the Rainbow team would you have sex with? Zippy, right. Bungle, George, Jeffrey, or Rod from Rainbow?
Just so I know exactly what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Are we talking about actually shagging the puppets, yes, or are we imagining that they're real, or are we talking about shagging the puppeteers? how much in reality are we?
Well,
just like because you know that below Zippy,
yeah,
and George,
yeah,
no, Bungle,
no, George, there's a man inside.
Who's
Bungle?
The bear?
Bungle's the bear. Bungle's there's the bear, someone right? Inside.
You know
there.
That if there's a hole in the back, you put a cork in, you'll be shagging a guy's ass. But below, there's nothing below Zippy. So let's say Zippy.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's speed things up and just say Zippy. Zippy.
I'm just going to cut the rest out, so it's just you immediately saying Zippy.
Say Zippy.
I'm going to edit it, so which of the words? Zippy.
Zippy.
Definitely Zippy.
Before you've even finished the question. Zippy, I know this question, Zippy.
All right, try this one. This is one I'm trying to popularise that isn't popular yet. If you could have all your teeth replaced by psychic orbs that could tell you all future events by telepathy, but would scream at a high-pitched volume every time you opened your mouth, would you go ahead with the teeth replacement operation? Some people need that one a second time.
No.
No, you got it.
No. I wouldn't do it.
Even though you could see the future...
No, because all the rest of it would do you nothing. It would, you wouldn't like it. It would fuck with your head. And nobody would want to be around you because of the screaming sound.
Yeah. No. You just keep your mouth closed and write
I'm
everything.
I'm taking these questions very seriously.
That's the way they must be told. We were tweeting about Monopoly tactics. I'd quite like to talk to you about the tactics for playing Monopoly.
Oh, aye.
Because we were tweeting about it a few months ago. I don't know if you remember. Because there was a program, I think the Infinite Monkey Cage talked about it, but I think their tactics were incorrect. They said that you should get the red set, Trafalgar Square.
No.
Because that's the Trafalgar Square is the one you land on.
Most land, that's right.
But I used to play it online,
and it was like an American
one,
and it's got all these different names. It's like Madison, so I don't know. But I played it a few months ago, went down to this person's house, and we're playing it. They were drunk, mind you. But I was like, I'm going to fucking win this. It was me and these two other guys that were drunk, and I thought, get orange. Orange is what you want to get. It's the highest return on investment. Don't forget about green. But I thought, get that any way you can.
Orange is good because a lot of people will go to land on the jail square probably more than any other square. So that means coming out of jail, you're likely to hit anything on orange. I like orange, and that's how I used to play. I think the best one to go for is the light blue set.
Well...
Because, let me tell you why. Because it's quite likely on the first turn they'll all be taken, right? If you can manage to get them, and we'll talk about this, and I think this is the way to do it. Get someone... Wait, you get round, get one light blue, the other two get taken as well quite quickly. You go around, you get a green, you go, I'll swap you a green for one of the light blues, and the people are going, green's much better than a light blue. And so they'll do it. And then you go, have I done something stupid? You know you haven't done something stupid.
Well, I just
go... And then you get those, and you can build hotels straight away, and then bang, you're in.
I just go by the stats. I just go by the data.
Stats is not enough.
Because,
A, people land on go a lot, so that's still... It's got the orange thing, still going for it. But you can get it quickly... Get it quickly and you can pay for hotels straight away.
Get these things so you can then trade them maybe, right? But get the orange ones. But the biggest, the most important tip
of all...
It's hard
to get the orange ones.
The most important tip of all is to be humble. It is, because that's what I was doing with them. You don't go, I'm going to fucking win this. I'm going to fucking, yes, let's get it started. I'm going to win this. Because they won't go, normal, we'll get him and they want to trade me and they'll fuck yeah and they want to... You just go, could I maybe swap that... Or could I maybe have the oranges and maybe for that? And like when you're taking money off them, go, this is how I was playing. Fuck, sorry. Yeah, all right. Sorry, you'll get back into it. Once you know what they're fucked though, then, and I was saying this on Twitter, then you can really bring out the fucking Emperor Palpatine sort of fucking thing. You can just, I did Emperor Palpatine the last time I was fucking here, I think. Because you've got the Chancellor Palpatine thing to begin with, where you're just sort of like being all nice and that. Then once you know they're fucked and they fucking, you know, they're just like, they're dying, then you can just go, fucking pay me right now. Pay me right now. Right now, dickhead, you can swear at them, call them names. There's nothing they can do. Nothing you can do. And I fucking won. I won.
Yeah. I won. I think orange is good, but
they were steaming, mind you, but that's your fault.
I think orange is good, but I would like you to consider light blue in the future, just to win the game very quickly. You've got to get them quickly. The problem with orange, I find, is that sometimes the one that's six from the jail, the first orange one, you don't get that one quite as quickly as the other. So sometimes you go around the board quite a long time and no one's landed. I played a game. I played Monopoly all the time against my phone.
The jail. Wait a minute. It's go to jail.
Go to jail's on the first corner. And
go,
the orange.
Go to jail. The jail and free parking. Enter.
Yeah, free. It's jail, free parking, go to jail, go.
Right.
And then the first orange one, Marlborough Road, is the sixth.
All these things, this kind of reminds me of Street Fighter 4 that I used to play, right? See, when you're trying to do all the combos, you're learning all the combos, that goes into that. That gets too complicated for me. You end up fucking it up. See, if you just sort of like, kind of like, here's another Star Wars sort of thing, you kind of use the force. And you don't think about all the fucking combos. You just go, I'm just going to play in fucking gut instinct.
Yeah,
I'm just going to... Occasionally did odd fucking fireballs. I used to go cigar. And you did the odd thing like that, but generally just your fucking quick reflexes and stuff like that. Remembering all the combos, it's too fucking hard, right? Especially when you get older. So you need to keep it simple. So two simple things. Get orange, get all oranges. Only day three hussies. Don't bother going for the hotels. Three hussies, just there. That's your highest... That's the best... thing and orange and be humble. That's it. Be humble. Don't act like you care about winning and be nice and all that until you can really reveal yourself.
I played a game of Monopoly, admittedly against computer opponents on my phone, where I went round the board seven times and I hadn't landed on a single property I could buy.
Well,
because I either landed on like go to jail or I landed on stuff that someone else had already landed on, and I went round seven times. I thought I'm going to do the whole game without being able to buy a single property, and then it's quite difficult to play.
How can I play at a computer? Because you're not getting the joy of beating a real person.
No, I do get the joy of beating. There's a penguin on it, and I just imagine it's.
Oh, right, right.
There's
right,
a penguin. The penguin and the taxi car. And there's an Easter Island statue on it.
But you need to...
And I believe... And I hate the penguin.
Right.
As long as I beat the penguin, I don't
imagine
mind.
Imagine if you play that enough, you do start to hate that.
Yeah.
Even though you know it's not real, you do start to fucking hate it. But it's good beating real people. Nothing beats real. That's why I play Overwatch all the time. Fuck it. Anybody play Overwatch? Fucking love that game, man. It's just good beating other fucking people, knowing that they're raging. There's a real person out there. Like that. Fuck off. Especially when you get them to rage quit.
Yeah.
Especially when you see them to leave early and you're like, yes, man. They're like, fuck this. Fuck this. No better feeling. Used to get out of a Street Fighter as well. People rage quitting. Fucking magic.
I feel the penguin is more upset than a real person would be.
What's the penguin dead, is it?
Well, it looks a bit stroppy when it loses. The ball deflates.
That's good.
I don't like that. It's too far. If you had to do a human centipede with two other people, if you had to, you're in the middle, who would you have in front of you and behind you?
You know, I actually asked this in my Q&A.
Were you? Someone nicked it off me then.
Because
that's my question. No one else could have thought of that.
Am I in the middle?
Yeah, you're in the middle. So you've got to eat the shit.
I have to be in the middle. My girlfriend would be in front, I mean her shite. That's the person who's shite. I've never eaten her shite, in case you're wondering. But that's the person whose shite I could put up with the most, probably.
Yeah.
And behind me, just a general Tory. I'd say Theresa May, but I'd be kind of sexist. Say David Cameron, but he's not doing it anymore. Let's say the fucking Queen. Who came down to London? Like William Wallace. Who came down to London and... Get him! Hung down and quartered. Martin.
All right, and on a similar theme, if you had to be anally violated by a popular chocolate bar, if you had to be, which chocolate bar would you like to be inserted into your anus?
The thinnest one, so that would be maybe Bitsy a Curly Wully.
Oh. I don't think you can break the chocolate bar up. You've got to have the whole thing up there.
Well, a star bar would be all right.
Star bar?
A star bar.
It's quite, it's quite a thick one, isn't it, a star
but
bar?
You do shites that are bigger. If I actually saw a shite in the pan that was as thin as a star bar, I'd be kind of laughing. This. No, that'd be all right. That'd be fine.
Yeah.
That'd be fine. And anyway, it'd start to melt anyway up with the warmth of your arse and start to waste away to nothing. No, but then you got the peanuts. Once that melts away, then you got the fucking peanuts scraping against.
If you had a peanut allergy, that would be a bad way to die as well, wouldn't it? If that's, that's how they find.
I'd say a normal kind of Yorkie.
Yorkie.
Because that's
very chunky. It's chunky.
Well,
and hard.
Dairy Milk, because they've changed. They used to be, I can't remember, they're kind of round now.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
Ah,
that's nice.
Wait a minute. Single kind of strip, Aero. Twix has got the bit of the biscuit in it, remember?
Yeah.
What? Fudge. Yep.
Yeah.
Finger of fudge. Yeah.
Can't take answers from the public. And I just want, we're going to have to stop soon. It's been very nice talking to you again. Thank you for coming down to, especially to talk to me. I'm very...
A lot of Monopoly fans in the audience will be happy tonight.
We had some good chat there.
And hang again at us tonight.
It was better than the fucking Infinite Monkey Cage. You didn't know anything about the strategy of playing Monopoly.
I'll check that out.
They knew all about the maths, but they didn't know about the passion and the
you
intrigue.
Need the psychology is... The male yell... No, sorry, I won't get any again. Fuck it.
Okay. I'll happily talk to you about it for a long time. Your vines were all screened together at a film festival all in one go.
Yep.
How the hell did that go down?
It's kind of fucking annoying in a way. Like, all the vines, it was a London Short Film Festival and... It was like the first 600, so that's like six... It's an hour long, right? And solid. So it starts off with the... I've done ones, like these characters that just sort of popped up, like the plasterer and the laugher and all that. You would get... When I actually did them, I didn't do them in a row. You have one there and I'd go and do some other shite and then... One air, one air. So you don't see them all grouped together. So it's just all this fucking one after another, another stuff. And it's just like kind of getting bombarded. Just with anything. It doesn't matter what it is. 6 seconds, six seconds to the next one.
What did Iannucci reckon?
He said he liked it, but you would, wouldn't you? You wouldn't.
Amanda Iannucci was hosting this.
He was hosting it. He was saying that was good. But how many people, if they don't like it, are going to go, I didn't like that, Brian. I didn't like that at all.
There was too many vines there.
Too much for you? No, just a bit boring, just a bit kind of shite. Remember, I've seen it all, Brian. I've seen it all. I think he liked it, but the whole thing was just like, even if there's something funny that pops up, you don't have time to fucking laugh, because then all things just came up again.
But is it a bit like the Clockwork Orange thing or something, when just things are flashing in your face? It's sort of that kind of...
But I'd like to do it again. Some people said, why are you doing it in London? Why are you doing it up the road? Why are you taking all that down to London? You're too fucking good for us now and all that.
Yeah.
So I'll do it up there, I think.
Yeah.
But it's no... I'd probably say to people, come along and take acid and all that. Oh, that'd be a crying night. No, don't. I want to do it again, but it's no that fucking enjoy. It's not a funny thing. It's kind of more funny. I think that the other things are kind of funny if you're into that sort of thing. I like them, otherwise I wouldn't fucking do them. But when you're seeing it like that, it's just you don't have a.
Yeah, but overload is kind of.
It's very an arty experience. Yeah. Rather than actual like fucking comedy.
Yeah, it is, but then it is sort of artistic. You know, like a lot of things that are in art galleries are kind of similar to that sort of stuff, really. You know, they're just like a load of stupid shit all put together. And that's
what is it? It's
by a normal looking.
But I'm not gonna tell everybody, like if I do it up the road, I'm not gonna say, by the way, just to warn you, this isn't very good. You're not gonna like this. This doesn't work. It doesn't work. I'm going to tell them. They'll find it. They'll find it soon enough.
And what you were talking backstage, you might be doing a sketch show again for the TV.
Hopefully. Thank you very much. Cheers. Thank you very much. It's no limit. I didn't want to do a fourth series, right? Because I had trouble writing the third series. I didn't come up with any like new characters. Like the second series, I came up with like Larry Forsyth and Raymond Day. But for the third series, I didn't have anything new. I thought, right, you're starting to fucking run out. So that's it. Just finish it there. So it's not that. I thought I want to do something that's like my old YouTube stuff and my old like my Vines and things like that, but on the telly. And the BBC said they were into it, but. So I was ready to go and do it, and I said, wait, no. Just need a bit of kind of, a wee bit of red tape first, or like financial folk and legal folk, in case I go out and I start filming things you're not supposed to film, like people on the street, or there's a van going by with a kind of like windy cleaner phone number on it, and that's advertising, shite like that. But I was like months ago, and it's taking so long, and I'm like, I'm fucking tempted to just go out, fuck it, just do it on Patreon or something like that, just do it, and then you'll be able to say cunt, and that's it, just make a whole fucking sketch of that, and maybe more freedom. But I'd love to just put that on the telly, because I've not seen anything like that, where it's just all the homemade stuff. And
It's a difficult thing to
I don't know what people would think, because I'm into sort of weirder stuff now. I'm almost not into trying to make people laugh as much as you've discovered tonight. You know, like doing all these sort of letters, your punchline. I like kind of weird stuff, because that's what I'm into myself now. I don't even care if something's funny or no, or good or no. I just want it to be kind of strange, and I've not seen it before. So I can imagine doing something like that, sticking on the telly, and again, critically panned.
But if you do it yourself, I mean, I think if anyone can do that, make that work on the internet with everyone chipping in a pound, it's nearly me, but it probably isn't me. So, you know, I think people would do that. You could kickstart it or
I mean, I wouldn't want to do a big thing. I wouldn't want to go like that, right? You need to give me that 120,000, but you know, that fucking, like, yeah. I just go...
Like I did.
I like just go, like, give me some, like that. Yeah. But, give me just a few pence, just like maybe 50 pence a month, please, and I'll make you, you know, if you don't like it, you can, you know, unsubscribe, whatever the fuck it is, but we'll see how it goes. But I might be writing another book, so... I don't know, but I'd love to do it. I've been thinking about it. I'd love to just make that up, and looking at Patreon and going, look, what's everybody else doing? And well, that'd be good to have. For $2, you get this. For $4, you get the behind the scenes. For $15, you get to have your name in the credits. And for $100, you get to meet me. Wow. I would be worried if somebody paid for the, you know, they kind of top tier fucking things. You're like, I'm getting fucking stabbed here. But I gave you £100. I thought we were pals. Will you be my dad? Fuck that. No, I'll keep it nice and low.
I also think the short stories, though, I'd love to see those. Just, you know, I think like those being filmed.
I already proposed it, just like all my other sitcom ideas. They got fucking knocked back. I said, I went to my agent and said, can you see if any production companies or whatever would be interested in going to some channel about like daft wee stories, but like film, kind of like Twilight Zone or something like that, Night Gallery that he did after the Twilight Zone, where you got a few stories in an episode.
Yeah.
And only one company was interested, and they thought about it, and they went, nah. They just said, we don't think it'll work. It's a sketch show, a sitcom, this sort of in-betweeny thing, no.
Yeah, there it
is. And I'm just like that. You end up getting all these knockbacks. You just get all these knockbacks, and you just get all these knockbacks, you know, and... no, oh... And it just breaks your wee heart, you know. You get used to it, though. So I'm kind of almost thinking that with this sketch show thing. What if I get like a month down the line? I say, right, so here's the idea, and here's what I want to do. The BBC Scotland, and they go, nah, forget it. You know, I just don't think I can take that kind of rejection, as George McFly would say in Back to the Future.
But I genuinely went through that, like, I had 10 or 15 years of everything getting knocked back, and I got to the point where I wouldn't bother trying to work hard on anything, because I couldn't bear working hard on something and then them making it good and then them saying no.
Poor fucking us, eh?
Now I've got over that. I think you kind of get over it, because also, A, we're very lucky to be able to do what we do and do anything at all. But also, you've just got to keep, you know, if you keep fucking plowing away, so eventually someone will go, because that's definitely, what you're saying there is definitely a brilliant show. If you just filmed the four stories at the start of your of that second book and even put them all together in one show, it doesn't matter that they're not
that
connected.
That homemade sort of thing, I've been to doing a kind of, just me and my camcorder just having a fucking laugh, but...
you could film that, you know, you could film those properly with, like, you know, you could make them little short films. They'd all work really beautifully as properly filmed things.
I don't want to film it properly. You know, you see comedy programs, they're all like done, you know, very, very good lenses and fucking prime lenses and shallow depth of field and colour corrected, all looking beautiful. And for me, that just takes away for the fucking the comedy. It's sort of. I don't like it. I just like the whole Vines thing and YouTube stuff and kind of, you know, more raw, cheaper.
Yeah, it is. But you can do it yourself then, and you can do it online, and then you're in control of it, and then no one's taking money off you.
But can you imagine doing it and like fucking nobody's in it, and I'm like, I go back to the BBC. You're sitting there, you're not interested anymore. Like, oh, fucking hell, man. No, I'd be really, really, really into that.
Yeah.
Really into that.
It'll happen. You're too individual and brilliant a voice. It'll take some time. Yeah. But you'll get it.
No, thanks, sorry. Thanks.
Sorry.
Thank you.
All right, I'll ask you one more emergency question, then we're going to have to go. I'm going to make a good one. All the ones I'm looking at are terrible. It goes off towards the... I don't know why I'm looking at the end of the book, because... how about this? You know, Julian Clary last week backstage said, you're very obsessed with anuses. It's like all heterosexual men, you're just obsessed with anuses. Aye. And I wanted to say to him, yeah, anuses aren't just for gay people, mate. We can all enjoy them.
That's right.
Yeah.
He's all odd, though. You're out of line.
But anyway, let's leave anuses behind. If you had a finger that could cure rectal cancer, but only if you pushed it hard up the anus of the cancer sufferer, would you cure anyone, everyone, or be like Jesus and just cure a few?
Just the sort of good people.
Yeah.
I would any kind of, like, say people I didn't agree with politically, I'd let them die.
Yeah.
People I didn't like, or I would anybody maybe who wronged me in primary one or something like that. I would. See them on Facebook talking about how, you know, the terrible news and all that. I say, well, listen, I've got this ability. Well, how about we meet up and then just in my bit of day, I go, wait a fucking minute. I remember you. Bye. I would use it for evil rather than for
good.
Yeah,
okay, good. It was good. More people should do that with their cancer curing fingers. That should happen more often. Anyway, look, we're going to have to wrap it up, but it's been fantastic to talk to you.
Thanks a lot. Thanks.
Ladies and gentlemen, give a massive round of applause to Limmy! Limmy!
Hello, everybody. Thank you very much.
You have been listening to Richard Herring's That's a Square Theatre Podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Limmy, Brian Limond. The music's by Pest. Thank you to everyone at Go Faster Strike. Thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre. And thank you to everyone at the British Comedy Guide. I couldn't do this without any of you, and nor could I do this without my producer, Ben Walker, except on the weeks when he isn't here, when I can do it, as long as there's someone else there. And this is a Fuzz Go Faster Strike, Cart.com, and Sky Potato Production. Thank you for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Go to GoFasterStripe.com, and you can buy an emergency questions book. Or some postcards or a badge, or you can come on, why don't you become a monthly badger, get access to a secret channel with all our backstage interviews. GoFasterStripe.com/badges, £1 a month, and you get entered into a secret draw, you get loads of extra content, and you get secret emails. It's lots of fun. Thanks for your support, everyone. Cheers, bye.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Thanks for listening. richardherring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.